Sacramento Police. Unit 99, are you in the clear?
Unit 99 to KMA 907. Unit 99, Sergeant Meredith, 909, in service, on the air. This is Sergeant Dan Meredith of Unit 99 at Headquarters, Police Department, City of Sacramento, California. My detail is to ride in Unit 99, our tape recorder-equipped radio car, and to respond whenever the dispatcher transmits a signal to one of our other units on duty somewhere in the city. At the scene, we make the recordings which we provide for the American Broadcasting Company for this program. Now, to tell you more about Unit 99, here is our chief, James V. Hicks, Sacramento Police.
We have provided Unit 99 of the Sacramento Police Department the tape recorder it carries and the officer in charge, Sergeant Meredith, so that you, who depend on your police for protection, can hear them in action, on duty. And what you hear on this radio program is real. No question about it. The suspects are real. The victims are real. Bear this in mind as you hear these cases. Now to Unit 99 and Sergeant Dan Meredith on duty.
Unit 3. Unit 3. Check on a man attempting suicide at the Tower Bridge. Code 2. Check 3, came in answer.
Man attempting suicide, Tower Bridge. The Unit 3's on the call. We're just about a half a mile away. Let's get on it. We're out at the Tower Bridge, fronting Capitol Avenue. There's no one around, no crowd. Let's check over here. We're looking underneath the bridge. We're out on a span adjacent to the bridge, but a little lower, trying to see if there's anything or any sign of someone who has thrown his life away. It's pretty dark. Flashlights can't seem to take in the entire area. It's pretty hard to determine. Don't have any witnesses around right now. Can't seem to find out just who has placed the call with the police department. The police, however, did originally receive the call from the city telephone operator. Unit 99 to KMA 907.
Go ahead, 99.
Anything further on that attempted suicide off the bridge?
He's at the service station at 2nd and Capitol. I've sent a car there to check him out.
Roger.
Give me 907.
Officers Ben and Laughlin and someone in the back of the car. They just drove into the station. We'll go over and talk with them.
We finally located the man, and he says that he's the one that he wants to jump in the river. There he is, Sergeant.
Okay. Did you talk to him at all, Laughlin?
No, I was waiting for you, Dad.
Okay.
Was you up on the ridge a while ago?
I've been over there for ahead 2 hours now. Trying to decide what to do.
You were over there for the last 2 hours trying to decide what to do. What do you mean by that?
I've been trying to jump in the river for...
What seems to be your trouble?
Why don't you let me go, please? I'm not trying to bite nobody. I'm not biting nobody.
That's right, but we want to help you. If you can tell us your story, maybe we can help you.
I wish you could.
What is your story? Why do you want to do this?
Fred, how do you know anybody could help you?
Yeah.
Let me talk to Fred.
We'll go in and have a talk with you, man.
Let me talk to Fred first, please.
All right, then. We'll see you inside. We'll go in the back room here. He wants to talk to the officer.
You lose anything in your life?
Oh, yes.
You're murdered, I think.
That's right.
You're Dan Meredith.
That's right.
You remember me?
Well, Zoo, he wanted to talk to you. He's a little despondent tonight. We got a call on a bridge deal down here.
You want to jump on the bridge?
He said he thinks he could help you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. I'm still going to do it.
Try to remember me, Fred?
You bet I do. About 20 years.
Where should I go, Dan?
Well, I'm not holding you, but would like to know what the trouble is.
I'm tired of living.
You're just tired of living.
Well, there must be some reason for that.
Yeah, no reason. I got wonderful folks, dad and mother and brothers and sisters. I'm disgusted.
You're just disgusted with yourself.
That's right.
Anybody else involved?
No, but wife, or she divorced me 3-4 years ago. She's not to blame. I'm to blame.
Well, what brought this about tonight?
I just wanted. I'm disgusted with living, that's all.
You're disgusted with living. You wanted to end it tonight.
That's right.
How long were you down at the bridge?
About 3 hours.
3 hours?
I called up Fred, disgusted. I called up Fred. Fred has a friend of mine for years.
Yeah, one of the officers.
That's right.
And where were you on the bridge? I made 2 or 3 passes there, but I couldn't find you. Were you on the bridge or underneath it?
I was on the second time when I come down and I caught up Fred. That's the only one I remembered who to call for. I said, Fred, I said, remember, maybe. He said, yes. I said, something happened. Tell my folks who I called you up, that's all.
If something happened to you, you wanted him to get in touch with
all my folks.
But you're by yourself now. You don't have any family except...
My dad, they're in business here in town.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still, I want to leave right now. Can I leave right now?
You want to leave or live?
No, I'll still go to the bridge regardless.
You think you'll go down there and jump in tonight?
Absolutely. I ain't got nobody to take care of me then.
Well, that's not a very good thing to be... That's not a very good thing to be thinking of right now. I think that if you... sober up a little bit, tomorrow you might...
I haven't been drinking then.
Don't you think tomorrow might be another day and...
No,
be a little different?
More days for me then.
You're definitely going down there and
absolutely.
Jump in the river.
There's no absolutely that I can get away from. I think that I should do what I'm figuring out planning to do.
Well, don't you think of your mother and father, that how they might suffer if you did do something like this?
That's true, but... I still think that I'm supposed to go that way.
No, you're not supposed to go that way. Nobody's supposed to go that way. You know that.
Well, I'll tell you that.
We have our troubles, but we should try to conquer them one way or another. Try to overcome them.
Look, Dan Meredith, I was raised in Sacramento. I played a lot of baseball in town.
I played golf.
I was a great golfer one time. Not a great golfer, but City of Sacramento recognized me as a good golfer one time. I was married. I went back to Phoenix. I made money here in Phoenix. We put up a good business, and my wife, she defrauded me for everything. And I come back to my family. And it's not the same way as I was before, you know. After your marriage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I come back last week, and I decided that without my wife, and I figured it's no use me living no more.
That is the reason.
That's right.
Well, I think tomorrow, though, you sober up a little bit, you might have a different aspect of it. You might think a little differently of it. You'll entirely be of a different mind. I think you better wait until tomorrow. Put you out on the streets. I'm sure you'll go down there, won't you?
Well, I'm still going to go to the river, that's all.
No, I don't think you should.
I am going to go there. There's nobody to stop me.
Well, you stick around here for a minute, then we'll be back in.
Well, Laughlin and Van, what are you going to do with this fellow now?
Well, he still has the idea that he'd like to commit suicide, so I think we'll book him and keep him until the morning for his own protection.
Whether this man would have carried out his announced intention of taking his own life, I cannot say. It is possible that, seen through a haze of alcohol, the river may have looked attractive to a despondent man. He was held overnight, and the brighter light of the following morning changed the picture and his mind.
Unit 99.
99, go ahead.
924 detectives, 99.
924 detectives, roger.
Check 99, came in 907.
Detectives Stanley and Byram have been running a lineup on 3 suspects in a series of 211s. They may be ready to question some of them. We'll see what they have.
The
Stanley, now that you and your partner, Byram, have finished the lineup, what's next on the agenda?
We're going to take him in and interrogate him, Dan.
Oh, I understand that one of the victims here couldn't identify the suspects.
No, one of the victims was pretty shook up, and so we had to have the suspects identify him, and they identified him as the one they held up.
Stanley, could you tell me just how this arrest took place?
Well, Detective Byram and myself were driving down J Street, and these two boys, the two juveniles in this, were in an old 41 Buick, and they fit the description similar to the men that were the boys we wanted on this stick-up. Now, we followed them for a couple of blocks, and they pulled into an alley, and not at any great speed, but they were simply trying to avoid us. So we stopped them and searched them, and this gentleman right here, he had approximately $50 that they didn't account for. We brought him into the station and questioned them separately, and they told conflicting stories about their activities in the last 3 or 4 days. And the other boy, he was in the Marine Corps, and he couldn't seem to get his stories to jive with this boy here. The boys were very cool and calm for their age. They didn't show any nervousness. So we brought him out to the house, and we didn't want to embarrass him in front of his neighbors, so we didn't handcuff him. And there was two of us there. So we brought him into the bedroom, and on the wall was this jacket with the great big P on it that was used in these stick-ups. And as I recall, I called out to Byram. I says, look, Keith. And as I said that, there was a window open. It was approximately 2 by 4 feet. And I don't know how he done it, but he just jumped right through this window and was 4 or 5 blocks away before we could catch up with him.
Okay, then you're going on with the story here with this fellow.
Yes. Now, I wonder if you would start from the beginning. Now, we know in the past you've been involved in some stick-ups approximately last March, approximately 7 or 8 months ago. Now, could you tell us in detail, just generally, about this stick-up, what part you played in it yourself? We're not interested right now in the other fellows, but you can tell us what part you played in it.
Well, I just sat in the car there, and sometime I'd go up with them and take the guy's wallet and take the money out of the registers. And then sometime I just sat in the car, and when I seen him running, I'd kick the doors open, and then I'd take off and drive. Most of the time I drove in them.
In fact, you've done most of the driving on most of these jobs. There's approximately 10 or 12 stick-ups, and you were the driver on most of them. Isn't that correct?
Yeah.
Now, in these particular jobs, said you never carried a gun, did you?
No, I never did carry a gun.
Could you tell us the reason for that, why you didn't carry a gun?
Well, one reason, we didn't have another gun. We had this gun we used in the holdup that was loaded all the time, and then this little one that didn't work, you know, but in case anybody did see it, and they'd get scared, sort of, and I just take all the money and everything. It wouldn't bother me, a guy standing with a gun hole in his back or something.
Where did you get these guns?
Well, my partner, he knew a friend of his had them in his house, and we was going to go borrow them from him. So we went out to his house, and no one was home, so he walked in the back door and took the guns.
In other words, you stole this gun from a friend of yours?
Yeah, we took them.
Which one was that? The gun.
The .44.
Was it the pistol or
the pistol? We took the pistol from this house.
Did you have another type of weapon?
Yeah, it was a 4-barrel .22. But it didn't work, it was broke.
Now, at any time, did you ever discuss use that gun on anybody, or what you would do if you ever run up against somebody with a gun?
Well, the deal was, see, if all three of us went up there, and like someone got brave or something and tried to jump one of us, well, the guy holding the gun would get him.
Now, how long a period of this has this been going on?
All for about 3 or 4 years.
You've been sticking up places and burglarizing, too?
Yeah.
And that started 3 years ago?
Yeah.
How old are you?
17.
In other words, you started when you were around 13 or 14, is that right?
Yeah.
Now, tell us the first job, the first stick-up that you had committed or had been on.
It was last year out at People's Market. We robbed it. And these other guys got the money, and then we took off and went and counted. And then we quit, and then we started here last week again. 2 weeks ago, we held up to People's Market again. And then this Saturday night, we started them again. Started up robbing them.
This last week, how many armed robberies did you fellas commit?
Oh, there's around six.
Now, on that People's Market, that was a Chinese owner of that grocery store, isn't that correct?
Yeah.
Now, this morning, he came in to identify you. Did you see him?
This morning? Yeah, I see him this morning.
Now, did you recognize him?
Huh? Yeah, because when we went up there to rob it, they said, you go in and buy something. So I went in and bought something and seen who was around and what the deal was on it, if there's a butcher there or anything. And then I went out and got the other guys, and I got behind the steering wheel, and they went in and robbed it.
Now, he was unable to identify you, but you could identify him, is that correct?
Yeah.
Is that how you made the identification?
Yes, on all three, the gentleman wasn't able to identify any of them, but they all identified him as being the clerk on duty at the time.
How much did you get out of the People's Market?
It was about $150, so the kid was pretty shook up. He's a young kid, and he got the money out and gave us the money, and then they made him lay on the floor on his hands and knees, and they kicked him so he wouldn't see the car.
Now, when you left the place, what happened then? Do you notice somebody around there that might have seen you?
Yeah, there was two ladies standing across the street, and they had already phoned the county sheriff, and he was on his way out there. And right as we took off and got around the corner, the sheriff pulled up, and he went in and seen the boy, but we had a chance to get away by then.
Weren't you a little scared when you seen that car come around, that police car come around the corner?
Yeah, there at first I was, but I thought if they're going to catch us, they're going to catch us, so we tried to get away, and we made it.
Now, this one particular stick-up, you had some difficulty when you were in there holding up the attendant. A car drove in. Do you recall that?
Yes. We walked up to the station, all three of us, and there was a car sitting there, so we couldn't do nothing then. So he says, we're out of gas down the street here. You got a can and some gas? And he says, yeah. So he filled the can up. It was a five-gallon can. And we paid for the gas, and then he charges us deposit on the can. And we started to leave, but the car wouldn't leave. So my partner says, well, let's have a Coke. So we walked over to the Coke machine, and we had a Coke. And then this car left, and we pulled a gun on the man, took him back into the little room where they kept the oil and stuff. And then another car drove up. So we took him out there, all three of us, and I played like I was going to wash the windshields. And this other guy, the guy at filling station attendant, we told him that we'd have a gun on him. It was a hidden gun this guy had under his coat. And so he was pretty scared, and he wouldn't say nothing. And so after the car was all finished and everything, he took the money and put it in the register, and the car drove off. And so then I took his keys and his wallet and opened up all the boxes on the outside, took the money, took his money out of his wallet, and then we got the key to him for the safe. He had the key to the top part. So we opened it up, and we took the money out. There was about $30, $40 in it. And then we made him go in the back room and lay down and give us about 10, 15 minutes to get away. And so right as he laid down, we cut out, ran and jumped in our car and took off and went up to my partner's house.
Now, you had, what model car did you have on that particular job?
36 Plymouth.
Weren't you kind of worried about the condition of that Plymouth? It was kind of beat up, wasn't it, when you was getting away from these stick-ups? Wouldn't you have a little trouble starting that car or getting it to go?
Well, no, see, I bought the car, and it's got a hot engine in it and everything. And it'll go pretty fast. It'll outrun most of the cars around town here. And so we didn't worry about that. But see, if it died, you'd have to push it to start it, because the starter wouldn't hit stuff. It made the motor drag, and it gave me about 10 more horsepower if I knocked it off. So I kicked the starter off, and we had to push it to start it. So we had to leave it running there, and that's the only thing that worried us.
In other words, if that motor died, you'd have been apprehended.
Well, if we couldn't get it started and someone come along, we probably would have, but it starts right up after you give it a little push.
Over a period of the last year, approximately how many burglaries have you committed?
Just this year?
Yeah.
No, we've done about 80, 90 this year.
Over a period of the 3 years, I understand you fellows have all worked together in the three-year period. Now, in this three-year period, how many burglaries had you all committed?
There's around 150 to 200 places that we have busted into.
In the last 3 years, though, you have been apprehended on some small minor burglary, wasn't it, out there on Fruit Ridge?
Yeah, I got busted two or three times for breaking into places, but see, we got out on that. I got put on ward of the court once and probation and all that stuff, and we got out on that and went back at it again.
How much money did you get actually in cash in those burglaries?
Well, if we would have saved the money we've made, we'd have about $7,000 to $8,000 right now.
But did you blow it? Did you spend it?
Well, usually when I get my money, I'll get my cut and I'll go downtown and I'll buy me around 4 or 5 new shirts. I bought around 100, 150 new shirts I've got, and all kind of clothes, and then I bought a car and got it fixed up pretty good.
Are you going to further question these boys? Yes, we have a lot more to question them about. We notified the sheriff's office they're in custody, and they're coming over to question them about their jobs out in the county.
Now, what charges are these boys arrested on?
They're all booked on 6 counts of robbery and burglary. The burglaries are so numerous that we don't even have them charged with each one individually.
I wonder if you detected the boastful arrogance with which this young bandit told his story and the contempt with which he regarded his previous arrests and encounters with juvenile authorities. Still in his teens, he is already a hardened criminal. He was again turned over to juvenile authorities.
This is Unit 99, presented by the American Broadcasting Company Radio Network in cooperation with station KFBK, the ABC radio affiliate in Sacramento, California. These on-the-scene tape recordings were provided by the Sacramento Police Department and were made on duty by Sergeant Dan Meredith in Unit 99. Your host is Chief James V. Hicks of the Sacramento Police Department. Be with us when once again you will hear...
KMA 907, Sacramento Police. Unit 99, are you in the clear?
Unit 99 to KMA 907. Unit 99, Sergeant Meredith, 909, in service, on the air.
Unit 99 has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.